Praise the Lord. Thank God. There's none like him, huh? Amen and amen and amen. Well, you may be seated if you can. I'm going to. I'm doing everything I know to do in the natural, and then I'm saying every chance I get, healing power of God's working in my body to affect the healing and the cure. Sometimes people say, well, you know, but I'll, you know, I always say the natural and the supernatural working together. And so that's what I'm doing, and I took off Sunday. Now, sometimes it's wise to do some things in the natural, but that don't mean that I'm not holding on in the spirit realm, amen? And you know, a lot of people say, well, you shouldn't tell people. Hey, listen, preachers have physical problems just like members of churches do. And I'm not afraid to let people know that I'm, in fact, that gets you believing with me. But sometimes I think it helps you to know that, hey, I face the same kind of problems that you do, and I fight them the same way you do, amen? Praise God. I've never been one to not, you know, try to cover it up. So I'm here, but I'm sitting in a chair. But hey, Jesus sat down and talked to people, so I'm really biblical. Actually, the people that are standing teaching are unbiblical, because the Bible, it always says that Jesus sat down and talked to people. All right, praise the Lord. You know, I look out there and I see Brother Tony Cook that was here for, I don't know how many years, 19 years you were here with us, and God changed his heart. He didn't ever think he'd leave, and I just appreciate Tony and his loyalty and faithfulness and his honor. You know, that's a person that has worked at a place, God moves him. When he's in town, not in ministry itself, he's always here at Rhema Bible Church. And I appreciate that, Tony. I appreciate it very much. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? I don't think they knew what I was going to talk on about tonight. But I'm going to talk about and try to teach you a little lesson here on he's a much more God. And that sort of went along with that song they were singing a while ago, didn't it? Huh? Yeah. I want to start out by asking you three questions. Do you think and believe that God is able and wants to meet all your needs? Yeah. If you said yes, that's really good. That's good. The question two. Do you think and believe that God is able to give you what you ask for? Oh, that's good too. That's even better if you said yes to this and to the first question. Question three, do you think and believe that God is able and wants to do much more than we can ask or think? Yes. If you said yes to that, that's the best level of thinking and believing. Now, I want to make this statement right off the bat here. Your believing has a whole lot to do with your thinking. If you don't believe me, go out there in that bookstore and get a little book that was written by Kenneth Hagin, the other Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth E., not Kenneth W. And it was called Right and Wrong Thinking. And in it, he says, right thinking produces right believing, wrong thinking produces wrong believing. So, you see, as we look at these three questions, it brings us to some levels. You know, some people, you know, well, they believe that God is able to meet their need, okay. So they've taken up residence on barely get along street. That's what they think. God just wants to meet, just barely meet my need. So they're living on at 101 barely get along street on the corner of Gone Gone Avenue. Now some people have thought too small of what God wants to do in their lives, and so they've sort of short-circuited the blessings. There's that number two bunch. But the number three bunch are the ones that realize that God has much more. Now, John Maxwell is quoting E. Stanley Jones in Maxwell's book, It's Just a Thought. The chief way that you and I are disloyal to Christ is when we make small what he intends to make large. God is a big God, and my dad used to say it all the time, Tony, you probably heard him say it, many Christians think too small when they think about the blessings that God has for them. Yeah, Tony's shaking his head. The reason I said that, because Tony and Dad, they had a good relationship, and some of the books that we even have came from Tony just sitting down in Dad's office and asking him different questions on certain subjects, and Dad would answer them. Now, you that didn't know Dad personally, all you have to do is ask him a good Bible question, and maybe 30 or 40 minutes later, he'll stop. Right, Tony? I used to tell, when he used to go on interviews on some of the Christian network televisions, and I'd say, listen, you better ask him Bible question. Don't ask him a question he can answer with yes or no, because that's all you're going to get. I'm serious. But if you get him talking about a Bible question, he'll go 30 minutes. I mean, and give you chapter and verse and everything else. But, you know, the chief way that we make God smaller than he is. You see, big God, small problem. Big problem, you looking at it the other way, you got a small God. See, our thinking and our believing is our thermostat. Okay, a thermostat is what you set the room temperature at. And if it's for heat, you set that furnace delivers the amount of heat depending on what the thermostat set setting is. The same thing with cooling. So just like the thermostat, we need to set our thinking and our believing so that the blessings of God come up. You know, if we want this room warmer, well, then I'd have to talk to George, or back there, there's George, and he can take out his phone, and he can go in there and he can raise the temperature in this building with his phone, and he can make it hotter or colder. And the amount of heat or the amount of coolness that we get in this building depends upon what George has set the thermostat at. Now, in the wintertime, we will turn the heat down in here. There's nobody in here. There's no use of keeping it real hot. But about 5 o'clock on Sunday morning, George goes on there and he cranks the heat up. By the time we get here at 10 o'clock, it's nice and toasty in here, right? He does the same thing with the coolant. That's just smart. There's no use of burning up all of that electricity and all that energy when there's nobody in here that needs to be cooled off or warmed up. Okay. All right. I think you get where I'm coming from, okay? See, just like the thermostat, the good news is that when we adjust it upward, we get the blessing of God. We adjust it downward with our thinking, and our blessing level goes down. See, so we need, how do you adjust your spiritual thermostat? It's real simple. Knowing what the Word of God says. The more you know about what the Word of God says about how he wants to bless you, the better you can set your thermostat to receive and believe God for the blessing. Anybody understand this? So, if it's financial stuff, you need to change your financial thermostat concerning what God said about finances. If it's healing, then you need to set just your healing thermostat according to what the Bible says about healing. If it's employment, you need to adjust your thermostat for a higher level so that you can get a better position or a new job. See, now I want to tell you what. When my dad first went out on the road in 1949, left that last church. Now, in between, from the time he started preaching till the time he went out in 49, he started preaching when he was come off bed affliction at 16. But, and so he was there in Tom Bean, Texas. He had met my mom and got married. And then he was pastoring down in Farmersville. And that's when I was born. And he only pastored about four churches. In between that, we would travel and in traveling ministry from church to church. So when he left that last church in 1949, now his thermostat level for healing was way up here. And our family had no problem with it. In fact, all of his family, his cousins and everybody, they call Kenneth. Kenneth, pray for me. You know, they call Kenneth because they know he'd come off bed of affliction. But I want to tell you what, his thermostat level for financial stuff was way down there. It was freezing. And we were struggling financially. And I mean struggling, really struggling. In fact, some of you have heard, how many of you have heard him preach and then how many have read his book? You hadn't heard him preach, but you read his books. Okay. You probably read, I know that if you've heard him preach, you've heard him say it. And I know if you read the books, it's in there too. He said he was on the road and he finally had to sell his car for junk. How many of you heard that? And he was hitchhiking or riding the bus to preach. That's how low his thermostat was on finances. So he got to praying about it and God began to deal with him and said, listen, the same thing you do for healing, believe in God, say it, believe it, receive it, is the same thing you do for finances. Well, it took us a while because I don't know whether you heard him say, but he said, we just wasn't scraping the bottom of the barrel. We was under the barrel financially. And I know a lot of you heard him say that. But you see, he had to learn that, okay, the same way the blessings for healing, that those same blessings for financial was the same. And see, that's what we need to realize is that we need to realize that it is up to us what we get from the blessings that God says belongs to us. Once you're born again in the kingdom of God, your blessing depends on your thermostat. And how do you know how to set your thermostat? Find out what the Word of God says. You see, he knew what the Word of God had said about healing. But he had to find out what the Word of God had to say about finances. God has a lot to say about protection. You know, you need to learn this. Now, let's go to 2 Chronicles 25:5. Then Amaziah organized the army, assigning generals and captains for all Judah and Benjamin. He took a census and found that he had had an army of 300,000 select troops, 20 years old or older, all trained in use of the spear and the shield. He also paid about 7,500 pounds of silver to hire 100,000 experienced fighting men from Israel. Now you got to realize at that particular time, Judah and Israel were separated. And if you remember, in one place, God said, leave Ephraim alone. he's turned from him. And that's what they're talking about here. I'll go on and talk about it in a minute. But the man of God, that's the prophet, came to him and said, Your Majesty, do not hire troops from Israel. I'm reading out of the New Living. For the Lord is not with Israel. He will not help those people of Ephraim. If you let them go with you, with your troops into battle, you'll be defeated by the enemy no matter how well you fight. God will overthrow you, for he has the power to help you or to trip you up. Amaziah asked the man of God, But what about all the silver I paid to hire the army of Israel? Now here's what I want you to get. The man of God replied, The Lord is able to give you much more than this. The Lord's able to, even though he had been out that, what he's telling him, listen, God has much, can give you back much more than that. See, the king didn't know this, but the prophet of God came to him. And because, I don't know, have you ever read that scripture where it says, Leave Ephraim alone, he's turned from God? Well, that's what was happening there. And so, and I don't have time to go back and do a lesson on the division of the two kingdoms and Rehoboam and Jeroboam and all of that. But that's the way it is. In fact, when you hear somebody talk about the 10 lost tribes of Israel, they say, see, Judah and Benjamin, they always stayed true. But it was the other 10, they flopped around, and finally they became the lost tribes of Israel. Well, I mean, that they would be in with God and out with God and in with God and out with God. Okay. So now the king here, he's just trying to be a good steward of all of his resources. And when he asked about the money, and the prophet said, The Lord is able to give you much more. The easy to read version says, The Lord has plenty. He can give you much more than that. The voice version says, Don't worry about the money. It's nothing compared to what the eternal one has to give. See, he was thinking about, he had wasted 7,500 pounds of silver. Man, that's, how would you like to have 7,500 pounds of silver right now? You could do a lot with that, couldn't you? I guess he was thinking the same thing back then. But see, the prophet wanted to let him know, hey, God is able to do much more than that. Actually, in Haggai 2:8, God declares the silver is mine and the gold is mine. So 7,500 pounds was nothing if all the silver is God's in the first place. Okay? You know, what we need to do, he was telling the king, stop thinking about that. That's a small amount compared to what God can do for you. Okay? So now here we are. God knows where you are. And he can only get to you what you're thinking and you're believing according to the word will let him get through to you. You know, it's sort of like the 1957, Pomona, California. Dad, he was on the, he used to pray for people on a platform back in some of the, back that day. And this lady come up here on the platform and she is sort of creeping along. And she is standing there facing him. And he said, What do you need? Hey, what do you need? What? What do you need? What do you say? And he said, I see. And he pointed at her ears. You can't hear. And she shook her head. So he prayed for her, put his fingers in her, prayed for her. Ears popped up, and she could hear. He was standing 10 feet behind her, whispering, and she could hear him. She couldn't even see. And so everybody was praising the Lord, and she started walking off the stage, crippling off the stage. Found out later she had arthritis, crippled up with it. And he said, Wait a minute, wait a minute. Don't you Isn't there something else? Don't you need healing? You can't hardly walk. Yeah, I got this arthritis. Said, don't you know the healing fact? No, I can get by with that with this arthritis, but I couldn't get by without hearing. I'm serious. That actually happened in a church, Pentecostal church. But that goes right back to show you what I'm talking about. Your thinking and believing sets, is the thermostat that sets what you get. She was saying, okay, I can't get by. I need my ears healed. So she had her set. But this, she had it set way down. You know, God thinks differently than we do. Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far above anything you could imagine. I'm still reading the NLT. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God thinks according to what his riches and resources are. Sometimes our thinking gets limited to what we have or don't have. And we shouldn't look at ourselves in the way of what we have or don't have. We should look at ourselves in the way, that was the natural, but what we have according to what the Bible says. Set our thermostat according to what the Bible says, not according to what we see, feel, taste, touch, smell, whatever. He thinks according to his power. If we're not careful, we'll think according to our natural power. He thinks in line of what he is capable of doing, and we think in line of what we are not capable of doing. Anybody get anything out of this? You know, we subconsciously, or maybe unconsciously, I don't know, think and act according to what we believe we're capable of doing. Now get a hold of this. You, myself, we make decisions on what we buy based on our resources. What resources we have. Is that not correct? Now, God does the same thing. He makes decisions based on what he has. And wherever God finds a person who thinks and believes like God does, you'll find that they're receiving blessing. See, let's go look at a bunch of verses right now that talks to us about a much more God. These verses get you to change your thinking and your believing. Thank you. Change your thermostat. Matthew 6:30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Matthew 7:11. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Romans 5:10. Okay, I'll let you catch up. Romans 5:10. I'm reading New Living here. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Romans 5:15. Just drop down five verses. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God, the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. Now I drop down two more verses. For if by one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Reign. That means be on top. 2 Corinthians 3:8. 2 Corinthians 3:8. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, the first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? And it says there that Jesus Christ established a new and a better covenant on better promises. So if it was glorious under the old covenant, how much more? See, I want you to get a hold of much more. We got a much more God. Look at your neighbor and say, we have a much more God. Go to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. But just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our conscience from our sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. How much more, through the name of Jesus, do we have? Now, do these verses tell us that God does things a little better? No. It says God does it much better than we could ever dream of. In fact, the Word of God says than we can ask or think. Should we be afraid and get overwhelmed and all uptight because of what the devil is doing? No. Because we have a much more God. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You know, we have to begin, if we want the much more God to work for us, we have to begin to declare, to say it. Now, a guy asked me one time, not very long ago, said, man, how do you preach faith all the time and so much other needs to be covered? I said, I preach a lot of different subjects, but I bring faith into it all because it all works with faith. So I said, it's easy to preach faith in every subject. I mean, here it is. That's what we're talking about here. We got to believe. If we want to much more, we got to believe what the Bible says. That's our faith, right? You got to declare it. You got to ask for what you need and believe that you receive it. See, Matthew 21:21. Then Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can say to this mountain, may be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. I think in that song they were singing a while ago, talked about the mountain and talked about the I am was greater, or much more would be, you could say much more, right? If we have a much more God that lives inside of us, then what are we doing wallowing around not receiving all the benefits that God has for us? You know, that's like you could sit here and starve to death, and I told you, okay, go down to Charleston's, over here to Charleston, or go to Olive Garden, or go to Texas Roadhouse or somewhere, and I've already paid for you a meal, and you just sat here, and you tell your friend, boy, I'm so hungry. Oh, I wish I had something to eat. Man, I'm hungry. Now, we laugh about that and look at it as ridiculous, but that's what we do with God so many times. He's already told us we already have this. He has a table spread before us that's much more. You know, my grandma used to set a table. Now, Grandma Rooker, my mom's mom, now she loved to cook. And if you went to her house, and back when I was a young kid, Dad was preaching and stuff, and I don't know, some of y'all are not old enough to remember this. Some of you are old enough. Used to on Sunday at the churches, the people would gather up and go to this one's house or that one's house. The preacher would go over here and have dinner on Sunday. Anybody ever remember that? Well, Grandma always liked to have them come to her house, and she'd have a house full. I mean, back then we had small churches, you know. Some of the churches, they were 60 feet long, 40 feet wide, you know, and they ain't going to hold that many anyway. And so she would always cook. I mean, she'd cook, you know, they'd always be at least two meats, always fried chicken. Anthony, always fried chicken. Anthony talks about fried chicken. He talked about that bird. That bird can do a lot. She always had fried chicken. And then if it was hog killing time, we'd have some pork chops or ham, you know. I'm about 5 years old. I still remember this. It's wintertime. It's cold. It's getting colder. And so I was in the kitchen with Grandma. Papa come in and he said, Savannah, get everything ready. We're going to butcher that hog tomorrow. Now, I don't mean to be gross, but back in the farm in those days, they hung it up by its feet and cut its throat and let it, the blood bleed out of it. And then they would start butchering it. They do that. Some of you hunters do that when you don't get your deer. You do that. So, but anyway, I never get. But man, and then she'd have two or three vegetables and always gravy and mashed potatoes. Always. And you know, and that good cream gravy. You know, that good stuff. Not that old brown junk. The brown junk is only good when you got roast and you've cooked the roast in the gravy. And then that's the only time the brown good stuff is good. You don't ever know what this pastor's going to do. One man told me years ago, he said, I come to your church because I don't know what you're going to do next. I said, well, praise the Lord, you come. But anyway, and if there's servants start to get low, she said, oh, don't worry about it. There's much more. Or there's more where that came from. That's the same thing. It's much more. And the Lord set the table for us. And it's got healing and prosperity and protection and everything else. Just get you a big heaping spoon, put it on your plate. If that gets low, get some more, because it never runs out. It never runs out. We need to exercise our faith and walk with a much more God. You know, tap into it. Tap into much more healing. Tap into much more power. Tap into much more provision. Tap into much more strength. Tap into much more glory. And I'm going to say it again. Most people live far below what God intended for them to live. They do this because they don't know how to appropriate the abundance of God in their life. And I'm running out of time, but I'm going to go ahead anyway. I didn't get to preach Sunday, so. I'm going to tell you some things here to help you get to much more provision. Number one, you need to find out what God actually has to give you. And then we need to see what he says in the Bible about that what is. We feed on the Word of God. And as we do this and read the Word, we begin to understand that he's a God of more. So if your current level of blessing is not where you need it to be, increase your word time. Now, number two, you can know about what and find out about what God says and all the provisions and all the much more, but you got to believe it. You've got to believe God's word instead of all of the situations, the circumstances, and all everything you're facing. Now, that goes further. I'm not just talking about having a positive mental attitude, although that'll help. But I'm talking about believing with the spirit, with your spirit, the heart of man that we call it. You know, if we're going to receive the much more, we have to be fully persuaded like Abraham was. Abraham was fully persuaded that God was going to promise and do what he said he would do. He was going to have a kid. And he said it for 17 years. He said, I'm Abraham. I'm the father of many. And he didn't have any. At least 17 years. Depends on which chronological report you want to go off with. You know, if you study bibliology and the putting together of the Bible and all that, you'll find out that they have done as much as they could reading the Word and looking at the different eras of time, and they've assigned. I don't know whether you ever read in each book will have when they think it was written, and sometimes they may have a 65 to 66, AD 65, 67, or BC, something another. There's different chronological reports. None of them know for sure. So you take whichever one. And I believe there's more credence to the one that Abraham was about 17 years. And he was persuaded. He was so persuaded of the much more of God that he wouldn't let anything deter him from believing. See, sometimes people, I'm much more God. Thank you, Lord. And then it don't happen in the 30 minutes. And, well, I guess it ain't going to work. Man, forget it. Man. No, you got to keep believing it when you don't see it or nothing else. All right, let me go. I'm out of time. Number three, you got to speak the word. Speak the much more word. According to Matthew 21:21 that we read just a minute ago, our words will release the power of God to do the supernatural. You know, when you actually begin to believe the word and speak the word, it'll come to pass. See, if you want the much more, then you've got to believe it and receive it. Now, everybody stand up. Say this with me. God provides much more for me than he did the people of yesteryear. God gives gifts to me much more than my earthly parents ever could. God's grace through Christ is much more than any obstacle, anything that I have ever done in my life. through God's grace, much more do I reign in life as king. God's glory is much more on me now than those in the old covenant. If it was glorious back then, how much more is it today? Now, put your hands up and thank God for the much more God that's going to do much more for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Well, did anybody get anything out of this tonight? I don't know whether I enjoyed teaching it anyway. I hope you got something out of it. I enjoyed putting it all together this afternoon. Praise God. Our prayer people are coming down the aisles right now. The ladies will be on this side, the men on this side. If you happen to be with us tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we want you to know Him before you leave. All you have to do is come down here and they'll pray with you. If you know what it is to serve God, but you just not where you're supposed to be with God right now and you need to rededicate, they'll pray with you. If you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit according to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Or if you want somebody to pray for you for healing, for any reason whatsoever, these people are right here to pray with you. And you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, remember all the announcements, all right? And hey, it's going to be a great time around here. I was telling some of them, I went into the singers and I asked them if they was ready for the women's conference. And they said, yeah. And they said, they asked me if I would. I said, yeah, I just stay out of the way. I told him, I said, unless you're a father that has to take care of the kids, the best thing you can do, stay out of the way and let them do their thing. Because they're going to have a great conference. I know. Lynette and Denise have been working themselves silly, and Miss Kim, our assistant, and a whole bunch of other people that work here at the ministry have been. And we are really, you that have already come in early, we're so glad to have you. Thank you for being here tonight. I trust you got something out of what I had to say. Around here on Wednesday night, we have Hour Power. That's what I call it. It was a little more than Hour Power tonight, but I try to talk to people on stuff that will help them both naturally and spiritually. Do you realize the things I talked to you about tonight, if you put those principles into practice in natural life, they'll work for you just like they do in the spiritual life. Shake hands with somebody and say, hey, I'm going to get all I can from my God that's much more. You're dismissed. Sunday morning right here, 10 o'clock. Ladies, tomorrow night, ladies conference starts. All right. God bless.